Yo, yo, it is the Zach Yelp Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. So I actually, the last 2 days, Hickey, I was in the NHL store here in New York City. Pretty damn cool. Now, I think I've been one other time, but I've been trying to get a Mika Zibanejad jersey for like 3-4 months. And since how popular he's been and the size I am, they have been sold out. So I called the NHL shop. And they didn't have any Mika jersey, but they said we can customize the jersey for you with a authentic Rangers jersey that's just blank and then put in the number 93, the assistant captain's patch, and then the name on the back. So yesterday, I took a subway over to Penn Station and then walked like the two avenues to get on over to the NHL store. And I forgot my wallet at home yesterday, but I have my credit card linked to my phone, so I thought I could just do one of those normal, like, tap and pay, and then you go. I guess anything over, like, $200 at the NHL store because of identity fraud and credit fraud and all that, you need to literally put the credit card into the machine. So I went yesterday, and I then found that out, so then I had to come back here. And I didn't get the jersey, but they can't customize it and then have it ready for you the next day before you pay for it because all sales are final when it's a customized jersey. So I had to go back today, and I put the credit card in the machine, big job out of me, and they said it was going to take 40 minutes for the jersey to get ready, so I didn't think I was going to have the time. So I said, I'll pick up the jersey tomorrow, no big deal, but they could make it, and then it'll be ready tomorrow. Kid you not, like 15 minutes after I left the store, I got a text, your jersey is ready. The overestimation was obnoxious, but I'm getting what I want, so I'm good with it, and I'll go back tomorrow. But a very cool store and a lot of cool gear that the NHL store does have for all teams in, you know, when you look at hockey, which I love hockey, you love hockey, but that's a pretty damn cool store. I used to love as a kid going to the NBA store in New York City too, which I think was close to ESPN Zone, which as a kid, you go watch the game, you go to the NBA store, then you go to the ESPN Zone, you play some games. And I always remember ESPN Zone, Hickey, having great cheese fries. I was never a big cheese fry person, but I always remember my father would order cheese fries whenever we would go to ESPN Zone, which was a really cool place.
I have two lasting memories from ESPN Zone I went once in my life. Number one, the best cookie skillet I've ever had.
Wow.
They put the cookie in the skillet, ice cream on top. Mm. It melts in your mouth. Delicious. Never forget that. The other thing?
I think I know it. You went and Dick Vitale was there and he was like, oh, you're a diaper dandy, baby.
No. Oh. Even better than that. Even better than being
celebrity
called a
sighting?
Diaper dandy by Dickie V in person. No celebrity sighting. TVs in the bathroom at the urinal.
Yes.
You go to the bathroom, right. It was bowl season, it was 100%. Like Texas Tech with Mike Leach being coached, and it's, oh, I don't want to miss the game, okay, I'm going to run to the bathroom.
Wait, you remember the game?
Oh, yeah, this is burned in my brain. Lasting legacy, and there at the urinal watching Texas Tech, I think
how
it was Ole Miss. I was probably like 12 or 13.
Okay.
I have a weird memory when it comes to sporting events or like a lock. I can't
remember
anything else.
Taking a number one in the bathroom.
Yes, and standing at the urinal in a very small TV right there watching the game, like, this is so cool.
So my buddy, Wes, who I think you met at the Super Bowl, but Wes is a good dude, and he works in social media. His dad had the ultimate man cave in their house that they no longer have, like his childhood home. And it was 6 or 7 TVs on the wall. And the first time I went there, they said to me, this is like ESPN Zone. They have the sports ticker going around the entire bar.
Holy cow.
Which is really cool. All the memorabilia. They had a kitchen behind, so you get your pigs in the blanket, whatever you order, and all that. And I go, what do you mean it's like ESPN Zone? I go, no crap. I'm sitting here, I'm watching all the games. You got the sports ticker going around. They go to the bathroom. TV's in the bathroom. They had 2 bathrooms.
Wait, multiple?
They had 2 bathrooms.
Downstairs?
Yes.
Holy cow.
One to the left was for number 2s with the toilet. And then the one to the right was a urinal. Like, if you went to the right in the foyer, it was a urinal.
He had a urinal in his house?
TV on top of the urinal, and then 2 TVs, decently sized, where you could go take a number 2. I think they even had a PlayStation if you wanted to play some PlayStation in the bathroom, too, which I did not elect to do.
What I would love, TV in the shower. I would never, I'd be like Kramer, I'd live in the shower. I would never get out, but that would be the ultimate.
I wouldn't want a TV in the shower. You know why? I feel like I do some of my best thinking in the shower. And I have some of my best ideas in the shower. I don't need any technology when I'm in the shower.
Oh, that would be great. Watching a game, especially get home late. All of a sudden, oh, it's halftime. I'm running late. Now I'm in the shower. The third quarter starting. I don't have to miss it.
So give me, this is Pat McAfee's show. This is Adam Thielen on the Pat McAfee show talking about going to the Carolina Panthers. And he says they're not that far off from maybe winning a Super Bowl.
Honestly, wasn't really planning on going to the Panthers and went on a visit there just to hear him out. Because I wanted to go somewhere that I felt like I had an opportunity to win a Super Bowl. And when I went there, I sat down with Coach, I sat down with the GM, I sat down with all the coaching staff, and I felt like Carolina was the place to do that. I feel like there is a real chance to win a Super Bowl.
So I think that's an interesting response. And I know we talked about it a little bit yesterday. But something I didn't catch yesterday, I wasn't really thinking about going to Carolina. And then all of a sudden, just talking to them, you got oohed and aahed and impressed, a.k.a. they gave you a contract that you probably weren't getting anywhere else. Or the other option was not that great. And now all of a sudden, he views them as a team that could go and do some serious damage. Don't get me wrong. The Panthers have a good defense. We'll see who ends up being that draft pick with the number one overall pick. Today, C.J. Stroud had his pro day. 11 members of the Panthers organization were there. They'll go to Alabama tomorrow for Bryce Young's pro day, and it's all about the quarterback. They need better receivers in that building after getting rid of DJ Moore, and you lost Christian McCaffrey, but you then bring in Miles Sanders. So there's some room to still grow on the offensive side of the ball. But I don't know, like Frank Reich, is he a Super Bowl winning head coach in this league? I was not impressed the last 2 years with the failure in preparation, the slow starts, and the same losing that they did in the same spot. So I would pump the brakes before we talk about a Super Bowl push, but if you get the right quarterback, the NFC is wide open. Like, outside of the Eagles and the 49ers, there's no one that I feel great about in the NFC, and you could argue the Niners, because the Niners have a great roster, but we don't know who or how long we're going to see someone starting at quarterback for them this year. So it got me thinking, Hickey, and my answer is five. I think right now there's five teams that I could legitimately see winning the Super Bowl next year. What's your number? How many Super Bowl contenders, and I guess it just depends on how strict your standards are, right now in the NFL?
Also five. So I have a feeling we're probably the same five.
Okay. NFC, just the Eagles and 49ers.
Yes, sir.
A team like Dallas, I like what they did this offseason, bringing in Brandon Cooks. I can't get there, though, with them until I see Dak perform well on the big stage. Minnesota showed you they're a good regular season team, but a little fraudulent. Then come postseason time, you don't trust Kirk Cousins. The Lions, I'm optimistic about, but I'm not ready to say, oh, we're all in on winning a Super Bowl with the Detroit Lions. No one in the NFC South this year. I know people say, oh, the Saints could be good, and you got Derek Carr. I don't trust Derek Carr to win a Super Bowl. And then the NFC West, I like what Seattle did last year. I don't believe that the Rams are going to have a bounce-back year, but I also got to see what the Seahawks are going to be with your number two of Geno Smith and how much regression there is. I feel really good about Philadelphia, even with some of the pieces that they lost this offseason, and it's a big belief in Jalen Hurts. And then for San Francisco, I love their roster. I just don't like their quarterback position because I don't know what to expect at their QB spot. And did you see this? I don't even want to call it a report because it was from Ben Roethlisberger's mouth. Big Ben had a conversation with the Niners last year?
That's right. I mean, look, they're running through quarterbacks like, you know, people run through underwear.
Especially Mraz runs through underwear.
So, of course, you got to call. I mean, Phil Rivers, I guess, tried to call. They turned his call down and said, we're going to go to Big Ben instead.
I wonder how serious those conversations were. And I paused there and I gave you a funny face because the last time we saw Big Ben on a football field, he looked shot. Done. Like, were they... I would rather have, I know it's been more, he's been retired longer. I'd rather have interest in Philip Rivers over Big Ben.
I would agree. But to answer your first part, I think it's absolutely serious because I think you don't call a name like that without, you know, actually being serious about bringing him in. I don't think you're just calling him for, you know, fun.
And we know for sure that they initiated the phone call?
Yeah, Ben said they called him.
Okay.
And then he didn't want to play because he doesn't want to play for anyone that's not in the black and gold.
That's right. That was the quote. Is that a reason why you don't go to the 49ers? Like, I'm thinking about this. I've been out of the game. This is his first full year out of the game. And you get a phone call. Hey, it's John Lynch with the 49ers. Or, hey, it's Kyle Shanahan with the 49ers. If I'm Big Ben, I'd be like, yeah. I know you want to play your entire career with the Steelers, but you retired. They have Kenny Pickett. We'll see how that works out. But it was an encouraging year, number one. I would have said, yeah, I'm in for the last few months of the season. With a team that's ready to go win a Super Bowl, and you're Big Ben who has two Super Bowls, I don't think there's any downside there. I think even though his legacy is pretty much set, you go to San Francisco, you win a third Super Bowl, and you do so with a different team. I think the upside is greater than, oh, I didn't get to play my entire career with Pittsburgh because I went for, what, 2 months to go play with the Niners.
Here's a hot take. Would he have even played?
Hot take, Hickey.
Like, let's say, you know what Ben said, this is an opportunity. Jimmy G went down, it was early November, I believe, right, against the Dolphins.
Yeah, either Purdy got October, like 5 or 6 starts.
Late November. Late October, early November. So by the time Ben Roethlisberger, let's say they called him the day after Jimmy G got hurt. So you got to think, okay, he's got to get in a little bit of shape. He's got to learn the playbook. Let's say 2 or 3 weeks bare minimum between signing him and playing him.
December 4th. That's when he got hurt in that Dolphins game and Brock Purdy came off the bench.
I thought. Are you, like, is he going to play? Because Brock Purdy came in and played pretty well, like, right away.
They now, beat Tampa and they beat Seattle.
Do you, like...
Two playoff teams.
Is he playing? I don't know.
Yeah, like, I think he would have. Here's why. Because I know you got to do it to the best interest of the football team, but if you were calling and begging for him to join and you made him get off his ass and walk into your facility, and not just, it's not like he was in the area. You have him go from Pittsburgh to Santa Clara. You have him go there, learn the playbook, and you go, oh, Ben, thanks, but no thanks.
I mean,
that's a bad look.
Do you think they're begging? I mean, they went to Josh Johnson, so it's not like,
they
you know,
called him.
They called him, but I'm saying you could call him, see
but
his interest.
But you're saying,
like,
if he got in the building, if they signed him to a contract, he even though Brock Purdy played two games, Brock Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant. Two games, they definitely would have went to him.
Well, look, you said that the Buccaneers playoff team, Seahawks playoff team, he was playing well. If you're Kyle Shanahan,
85 and 217 were the passing yards.
Are we going to really sit there and say, I don't know?
Yes.
I don't know.
Even though Bill Romanowski came on this show and said after like 3 starts, I think it was, oh, Brock Purdy is their next, he sees some Joe Montana in him, he'll go on to be the starter for 15 to 20 years. If they would have signed Ben Roethlisberger, there is not a chance that you would have seen Brock Purdy starting when Big Ben was ready to go.
And mind you, just to make this, you know, argument, I guess, as accurate as I can, Jimmy G got hurt in the first drive against the Dolphin team. So basically, it was 3 starts for Brock Purdy. Played well in all 3. That's a decent sample size.
Yes.
I wouldn't have trusted Kyle Shanahan if I was Ben Roethlisberger to play me. Again, you don't know at the time when they call. You don't foresee this happening.
We don't know how much they were begging. We don't know how far the conversation did go. There was a conversation that was had, and ultimately, I guess, Ben didn't want to do it, and however he spun that, and you got to wonder what is actually true here because this is Big Ben leaking it, which I don't see why he has a reason to lie, but you never know how people try to stretch the truth a little bit, let's just say. But if you're saying if they would have signed him, he absolutely would have started. 100%.
I can't sit here and say that for a fact.
Okay.
I can't do
it. I'm telling you. I've never been more confident in my
Until
life.
Until Brock Purdy hurt his elbow, I think we would not have seen Big Ben until Philly. And by that point, he may have re-retired at that point out of embarrassment.
Until Philly?
When he got hurt, yeah. I don't think you're taking him off the field if he's playing well.
Stop.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Stop.
We'll never know, but...
Back to the Super Bowl contenders. you have crazy theories today.
What do you mean?
Crazy
theories. I don't see how that's crazy. Brock Purdy played well. We talked about Brock Purdy playing well for weeks.
But you didn't say if they signed Big Ben and told Big Ben, learn the playbook, take your time, get ready. We're bringing you in to go win a Super Bowl. A guy that's won 2 Super Bowls for what? A guy that played 2.5 games or basically 3 games in Brock Purdy? I don't care what he did. they would have gone to Big Ben. Now, it would have been fun because if Big Ben got in, looked old, terrible, washed up, which he is, we know he's a great quarterback, but not anymore, then that's a different conversation. 2-3 weeks from then, oh, Purdy was playing well, Big Ben stunk, different after the first game or two. But he definitely would have got the start whenever he was ready to start. There's no doubt about that in my mind. But back to the Thielen comments. We have 5 Super Bowl contenders. We both agree that the Eagles and the Niners are the only 2 Super Bowl contenders right now in the NFC. The 3 in the AFC, it's still, for me, Kansas City, Cincinnati, and then Buffalo. Is that the same, that 3 that you have in the AFC?
Yep.
I will say this, though. I think the Jaguars are a dangerous 4th. The Chargers could be a dangerous 4th if they keep Austin Eckler. And you know who's starting to make some really good moves? It's the Jets. I don't think the Jets are winning a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers because I don't trust Aaron Rodgers to go win a second Super Bowl with what I've seen when he was 13-3, 13-3, 13-3, and won 2 MVPs in those 3 years. But even though they got rid of Elijah Moore today, you go bring in Alan Lazard. You have Garrett Wilson as well. I think that Jets team, they bring Mecole Hardman in as well. And then you're getting Rodgers, and you have Breece Hall coming back. That's a pretty damn good offense when you look at some of the names there for the JTS Jets, Hickey.
It's not bad. Look, sign OBJ, okay. I just don't trust Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs. I can't put the Jets on the list, even if they make all these other moves. You bring OBJ in. You bring Randall Cobb in. You bring Aaron Rodgers in. Don't they go equate to a Super Bowl contender?
I think they're dangerous, though. And I'm not a Jet fan, but I like the job that Joe Douglas is doing, assuming that they get the deal done for Aaron Rodgers as well. Wouldn't that be the biggest tease ever? If you're a Jet fan, you think you're getting Aaron Rodgers, so excited, and then it's like, oh, the Packers are being a bunch of pain in the asses. We can't get a deal done. I think, would you agree with this? I do believe one of those second-round picks, because they acquired an extra second-round pick in this deal today, getting rid of Elijah Moore. I do think one of those picks are going to get sent to the Packers, and then it will be a 2 that maybe could turn into a 1 with certain parameters. That's the road that I think we're traveling down.
At this point, I would say yes. It seems like the Jets are bending the knee, if you will, and are just going to try to get this deal done.
Well, is that really bending the knee? Because not like the Packers are getting an outright 1.
Well, we'll see. We have no idea. Maybe it's a 1 and a 2. I have no idea.
Well, I'm just throwing out that scenario. I think now, because you have the 42nd pick and the 43rd pick, I do think one of those are going to get traded for Rodgers, and maybe outright that's the deal, or it could be a conditional 2 that turns into a 1. That's what I think is most likely to happen now. Because you look at the Jets right now. I just want to make sure that this is updated. Yeah, this is from today. They have 1, 2, 2, 4, 5, 6 in this year's draft. So it feels like one of those 2s are going to get dealt for Aaron Rodgers. And that may just be the deal in its entirety with no conditions on it as well. It is the Zach Gilb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gilb Show. Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Mike Trout on his reaction to Shohei Ohtani striking him out last night to end the World Baseball Classic.
Everybody wanted to see it. He won round 1. You can't take anything away from it. Just to be able to come out of the bullpen, you know, showtime. So, you know, hats off to them guys over there. It was tough. Tough night for us, but we'll be back.
I know that last night after the game, Trout walking from the plate to the clubhouse looked devastated. He looked like he was seeing a ghost. He was that white. I wonder how annoyed he's actually with it, Hickey, because that will tell me really how important the World Baseball Classic actually is. I was impressed last night with the final. I've not been a big fan of the World Baseball Classic, but that moment, Trout against Ohtani, was needed if you want to continue to move this thing in the right direction with the World Baseball Classic. I just wonder how devastated Trout is today.
I mean, he seemed, at least from what you hear, what he says, he's already committed to 2026. He said it, I think it was the best baseball tour he's ever been a part of, or one of the best events he's ever done. He, again,
he's also never played in a World Series.
Have loved it. And there's not been a player that I've seen that has hated on it, that's, you know, said, ah, it's not that important. I give the players credit. They're all into it, even from Team USA. It's just, I think it's more of a fan
preference. Well,
are they
actually all into it? Because I did see Rob Manfred say he would like to see the USA get better pitchers. A lot of pitchers did not participate, and they were sitting out. So that's the commissioner of Major League Baseball. He says he wants the best of the best pitchers to also get involved as well.
I'll say it's definitely riskier from a pitcher's perspective
sure.
to play. So I get why you wouldn't.
But if it's that important, go play. If this is such a big deal, then go play. Go participate in the World Baseball Classic. So I'll be curious to see next year. Or will they do this every 4 years?
2026. I think it's supposed to be every four, but COVID, I think, screwed it up a little bit.
Okay.
So I believe that's, why it's 3 years from now.
Gotcha. So in 2026, we'll see how many more players, especially on the pitching side, elect to participate. Devin McCourty was on WEEI, and he says there was a divide on the team between which QB should play, going back to the whole Mac Jones and Bailey Zappe debate.
I think there were some guys that are in the locker room like, all right, let's go with Zappe. All right, no, Mac looked good today. It was just a back and forth, which to me spoke more about what we had on offense than the quarterback. We never were solidified as an offensive group that guys had full confidence in anything we were doing. Like, to me, it was just that cycle of there was never, like, true hope.
That's an interesting spin zone by D-Mac. I don't even get what he's trying to say in that answer. Like, kind of the way that I took it, and correct me if I'm wrong, is it's not damaging on the actual quarterback ability. It's just that people believed in what was working. Like, that sounds to me like there was guys that didn't want Mac Jones to start. Therefore, they doubt him.
Yes, and he tried to dress it up as the offense was so bad that no one knew. Basically, there's no way to judge them because the offense stunk, whether it was the coaching or the players around him.
Can you play that for me one more time? Because that's how I heard what you just said at the end. But I feel like the buildup there, it wasn't leading there in the first 75% of the answer. Go ahead.
I think there were some guys that are in the locker room like, all right, let's go with Zappe. All right, no, Mac looked good today. It was just a back and forth, which to me spoke more about what we had on offense than the quarterback. We never were solidified as an offensive group that guys had full confidence in anything we were doing. Like, to me, it was just that cycle of...
You're right.
It was never, like, true hope.
You're right. It took a little bit to get there, but you're right. He was like, it's such a bleep show. If Mac Jones played well in practice, yeah, Mac was the guy. If Bailey Zappe played well in the game up against the Browns, oh, Bailey Zappe is the guy. It's kind of crazy the Patriots won 7 games last year, Higgy. Or 8 games, I think they actually won.
It's also kind of crazy that Devin McCourty's kind of being that honest.
I
he's not there
it.
Anymore, so I know it's a little less, but it's basically
he was there yesterday.
Throwing Bill Belichick under the bus.
They had his press conference yesterday.
Right. What I'm saying, still, you think once a Patriot, always a Patriot, you kind of keep the lip zipped.
Well, not necessarily. I think it was Bruschi or Harrison, Rodney Harrison, that told the story that Bill said, be honest. Let it rip. Do what you got to do. Ben Roethlisberger says the 49ers reached out to see if he would come back. This is on 105.9 The X.
Last year, there were some truths to the Niners thing. Just in the sense that they were, I think, reaching out for some, just to maybe gauge my interest. I'd be lying if I didn't say there wasn't like a small part of me that was intrigued, like, oh man, I could, you know, I could still do it, like prove to people, right, that I could still play. But at the end of the day, I just can't see myself in anything other than black and gold.
So here's the real question. I do believe that there was some interest. Here's the part that I don't know. Did the Niners elect and say, okay, we actually don't want you after just sniffing around and seeing if there was interest? Or did Big Ben actually turn down the 49ers? And since this story is now out there, he wanted to put it out there like, oh yeah, they were interested, but I said no because it makes him, not that he has to look any better with the Steelers fan base. They all love him anyway. He's a 2-time Super Bowl champion. He's going to the Hall of Fame. It's like another one of those things to stay relevant and be like, yeah, I'm the man. I would never play for anyone other than the yellow and black.
Why would, I guess, the 49ers call and then say no? Is my question.
Well, they could check in on all the possible names there.
They ended up going with Josh Johnson. Would you rather have Josh Johnson or would you rather have Ben Roethlisberger?
Big Ben. But if you're signing Big Ben, you have to start him. So maybe they believed more initially in your guy, Brock Purdy, than what we were led off to believe, maybe.
Well, how long is this process going for?
That I don't know. No one knows on that. I don't know how quickly it was, no, but if they're calling just to see if he would be interested, maybe there was one person in the organization that wanted to said, okay, let's call it to the due diligence, and then other people said, no, we don't want him. It's not just one person making the decision, so it wouldn't shock me either way if they called him and then they said, you know what, actually, we're going to go in a different direction, or if they called him, at first he let me think about it, and then he said no. I don't know what to believe there. Thomas Davis, I'm like, he believes the Panthers will take Anthony Richardson with the number one overall pick that's on the NFL Network.
I think it's going to be a very, very surprising pick in Carolina.
Whoa!
But, I mean, I will say this. If this pick happens that who I think that they are in love with, I'm not a fan of it.
Okay, wow. So you can't.
Wow!
You have to
say that.
Spill the beans here.
I just know that there are a couple of guys upstairs that are enamored by the physical ability of Anthony Richardson. I'll just say.
Wow.
We watched this kid play a lot. Me being an SEC guy, he has all the physical characteristics of being a really good quarterback in the NFL, but I don't think that he's going to be that great player that the Carolina Panthers need to take them to the next level. When you look at Bryce Young, what he brings to the table, he's a proven winner. When you look at CJ Stroud, what he brings to the table, this kid has proven he can win football games. Anthony Richardson, on the other hand, Will Levis, on the other hand, those guys have been in programs that could potentially be good, but they just haven't been. And the reason, has been the quarterback position.
So the reports have been that David Tepper likes Bryce Young. Frank Reich likes CJ Stroud. We don't know who Scott Fitterer prefers, though. He's the general manager. Now, Thomas Davis's wording was very specific. He said the guys upstairs. That doesn't sound like a coach. It could be an owner, but then that would go against the Bryce Young kind of conversation that's been associated with David Tepper. Now, Thomas Davis last played for the Panthers in 2018. Scott Fitterer was not with the organization yet, but he still have a relationship with the guy. Is he speaking for Scott Fitterer or someone else in the organization? That's the big question here.
Sounds like multiple, right? Maybe Scott Fitterer, maybe assistant GM, maybe the head scout, maybe it's the owner. Two out of the three, a mixed combo.
Do you buy it, though?
Yeah.
I don't
buy it. This guy would know. He's in the know.
I don't buy it, though.
You think he's just, throwing it out there? Being lied to?
That's tough for me to believe that they're actually seriously considering Anthony Richardson with the number one overall pick. Something seems fishy with, to me there. Mark Murphy says he's not allowed to comment on the future of Aaron Rodgers. I'm sorry. Every time Mark Murphy speaks, it's always at some event or some summit. Usually when you get these things like, on so-and-so radio station, on so-and-so TV network. This is at the Lambeau Field Tech Summit.
Obviously, we have the draft coming up. You're in free agency. It might be
We've got no other news really going on. I would love to tell you everything you want to know about Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, but I've under sworn secrecy not to say anything.
It seems like someone told him to shut the bleep up after the last time where he was at a Wisconsin women's basketball tournament, I think it was, and he was talking about Aaron Rodgers in the past tense. That's what that sounded like. Ryan Day, what makes CJ Stroud a franchise quarterback? This courtesy of the NFL Network.
Well, there's a lot that you need to do to be the face of the franchise. Mm-hmm. I think so much of it is off the field stuff, and I think being the head coach being the quarterback at Ohio State, mm-hmm. you get a feel for that. You
know,
you understand what it's like. You are playing in such a huge environment, the pressure cooker environment, and so he's passed all those tests. He's mm-hmm. done a great job in that area, so you can almost see that part of mm-hmm. it. But then there's all on the on field stuff, and mm-hmm. Today you got an opportunity to see all the great throws that he was to make. I mean, I thought this is as good as a workout as I've seen a quarterback go through. He was great down the field. He was accurate mm-hmm. with his touch passes. He was loose, and it looked like he was enjoying himself. Mm-hmm.
I really like CJ Stroud. I did not love him throughout the season. I loved what I saw in that game up against Georgia. My question is, why did it take that long with all the talent to see him play his best at the end of the year? That's my biggest question. Ed Cooley, the new coach of the Georgetown Hoyas, and what led him to leave Providence for Georgetown?
It was going to take a special place. And it is divine providence that I'm here. It's just meant to be, right? It's just that time, the change. I needed a change, but I wouldn't change unless the right place offered the opportunity. And it had to be a partnership and a marriage that would work. And I can see myself here for a really, really long time.
A little intentional with that word choice there. Divine providence, hot take, Kiki.
Yeah, isn't it divine intervention? Unless maybe it's interchangeable and one and the same. I always thought it was divine intervention that you would kind of use that phrase for.
Divine providence in Lutheran theology. Divine providence refers to God's preservation of creation, his cooperation with everything that happens, and his guiding of the universe.
Hmm.
I looked it up.
Tough for Providence fans to hear that phrase. And
that's, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to stab you in the back, and then I'm going to twist the knife when I'm walking out the door.
I'm going to use your name in my mouth again. Enjoy it.
I actually think this is really good for the Big East because Ed Cooley, who on Monday, we're talking about how cool this guy is. Then it gets announced that he's going to Georgetown, and he is now turning heel. He has every right to leave. If he wanted to go to Georgetown, okay, but when you leave in conference, you become a villain. And I really do think Ed Cooley, who's like Mr. Nice Guy, is now becoming a villain. Ed Cooley, of course, says it was a very difficult decision to leave Providence.
12 years at a school where you grew up, 12 years at a place that you took from the bottom, 12 years to build a championship top 20 program year in and year out. And I owe it to all the former players, the GAs, the coaches, the administrators, Ken Sicard and Steve Napolillo, who was the athletic director there, Ken Sicard, who was the president. That was one of the hardest conversations I have had to talk about, talking about leaving to go to an interconference team. So if any of you can just sit in my skin for 48 hours and know how hard that was, it had to take a really special place.
What a sell job that was, Icky.
Yeah, again, if you're a Providence fan, nothing he's going to say is going to make you feel better, but I think it only gets you a little bit more upset.
All right, John Morant expected to return tonight. Grizzlies playing the Rockets at the top of the hour. Here's John Morant saying he went to counseling to learn how to deal with stress, not for alcohol.
I don't have an alcohol problem, never had an alcohol problem. So I went there for counseling to learn how to, you know, manage stress, cope with stress in, you know, a positive way. Instead of, you know, ways I've, you know, tried to deal with it before that, you know, caused me to make, you know, mistakes.
And John Morant vows to be more responsible moving forward.
Obviously, you know, I made mistakes in the past that, you know, caused a lot of, you know, negative attention, not only to me, but, you know, my family as well, you know, my team, you know, the organization. And I'm completely sorry for that. So, you know, my job now is, like I said, to, you know, be, you know, more responsible, more smarter, and, you know, don't cause any of that no more.
We'll see what happens. He's a heck of a basketball player, but we'll see if decisions he makes continues to derail his career or if he's able to learn from this. And we look back at this in 10, 15 years and no one even thinks about this again. All righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So I just want to do this exercise real quickly. I want to rank the top five quarterbacks in the AFC right now and the top five quarterbacks in the NFC. And Hickey, let's operate under the assumption that this Aaron Rodgers deal is going to get done with the New York Jets. My AFC quarterback rankings are going to be like this. Mahomes 1, Joe Burrow 2, Josh Allen 3. I think this is going to surprise some people. I'm going to say Trevor Lawrence has an MVP type of year this year. And I liked what he did in the postseason after those terrible interceptions, coming back and winning. I will put Lawrence 4, and I will then throw Rodgers in at 5. So notice, no Justin Herbert, who was definitely tough to leave off this list. Lamar Jackson, tough to leave off this list. And we could probably end it there because we just don't know what Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson are going to do for this upcoming year. And two, I can't trust him to stay healthy, so I can't really consider him right now.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I would go Mahomes 1, Burrow 2, say the same top 2. I would go Rodgers 3, Josh Allen 4, Trevor Lawrence 5.
Okay, so the same 5 names, just a little differentiating on the order. Alrighty, let's go to the NFC. Now, this one's tough. Because it's Jalen Hurts 1, right? We are in agreement there.
Yes.
And then it's... What are we going to do for 2, 3, 4, and 5? This is the list that I put together. And I don't know what world we're living in right now. But it's the state of the conference. Jalen Hurts is 1, absolutely. 2, Kirk Cousins. 3, Dak Prescott. 4, if you would have told me I would have been saying this a year ago, I would have never believed it. But Geno Smith is 4 off the year he just had. And then as much as I want to put Goff in there, Geno had a better year than Goff last year. I got to see the consistency out of Goff. I'll put Carr in at 5 just going over to the Saints. So Jalen Hurts 1, Kirk Cousins 2, Dak Prescott 3, Geno Smith 4, Derek Carr 5 are my top 5 quarterbacks right now in the NFC, with Rodgers going to the AFC.
So we are in agreement, and Jalen Hurts, number 1, obvious. Number 2, Matthew Stafford. Guys, still can play, still has talent.
You're 100% right. Stafford has to be in the top 5 since he was hurt last year, kind of out of sight, out of mind on my behalf.
Right, and the Rams tearing it down, so it doesn't make it like they're a sexy name.
And also, that organization, it seems like everyone has 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Who knows where his health is going to be? Yeah, you know what? You're 100% right. I got to put Stafford. I would still put Kirk as 2 just because of the unknown Stafford coming off an injury. I would then change it, put Stafford 3, Dak 4, Geno in at 5.
Kirk would then be number 3. And then 4 and 5, I'd go Jared Goff 4, Dak Prescott 5.
Look how bad this NFC list is. It's really putrid. Outside of Jalen Hurts, you don't feel like there's an elite name on that list. For where they are in 2023. Like Stafford, when he won the Super Bowl, played great. Don't get me wrong. But it doesn't feel like there's an elite name on that list as you enter 2023.
There's a lot of quarterbacks grouped in that second tier altogether.
Where it's like in the AFC, you're leaving Herbert off the list. You're leaving Lamar Jackson off the list. If Russell Wilson could bounce back, like he has top 5 ability in the conference. Deshaun Watson, depends how much rust there still is to knock off. He has top 5 ability as well. You look at the AFC, you can make a case for any of those guys in the top 5 list to win the MVP this year. In the NFC, the only one you can make the case for is Jalen Hurts. It's a brutal, from a quarterback standpoint, and with how much movement there's been on the QB carousel, the NFC's got to start getting some elite names. And in the draft, maybe it's going to be Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud, whoever. That's going to be number 1 going to the Carolina Panthers. Will either of those quarterbacks be elite? Time will tell. You never know, because how many years you say you love a quarterback that goes to the first round and then it doesn't happen. And whoever doesn't go, then they're going to go 2 to the Texans, but that's in the AFC. And watch. Whoever goes 1 will stink, and then whoever goes 2 will be elite, and we'll still have just this lopsided affair with the AFC dominating the quarterbacks. You really need Lamar Jackson to get traded to the NFC. That's what you need.
Spread out the talent. You're right. There's a big logjam in one conference compared to the other. It is easily, like I said, almost a dichotomy.
855-212-4CBS. Let me go to Lee in Cincinnati next up on CBS Sports Radio. Lee, go ahead.
Hey, thanks, Zach, for taking my call. But what I wanted to talk about was St. Anthony Richardson. Like some people are saying, talking about him going first. It's a classic diversionary tactic, man. You know, throwing a red herring in there. Anthony Richards got all the talent in the world. And when it comes to talent, he's like the second coming of Cam Newton. There's only one big difference. Cam was good. Anthony Richardson stinks.
Yeah, I don't know what Anthony Richardson can be. Outside of that Utah game, he left me desiring a lot more with his time at Florida. I don't get why here's the thing. I don't get why you need a smokescreen. You have the number 1 pick. You moved up to the number 1 spot. That's why I just question the whole Thomas Davis thing. And thanks for the phone call, Lee. I got to get to Daniel Jeremiah, who's coming up in 5 minutes on the show. Like, Hickey, that's why I don't get the whole Thomas Davis thing, because, like, I don't believe it. I don't think it's going to happen. But he said it. You know, I know that he's, like, Mr. Royalty when it comes with the Carolina Panthers. He just talked it out of his ass, and then he just said, oh, you know, I know people in that organization. Like, who knows? I don't know much about Thomas Davis in terms of his time as an analyst, to be fair.
I don't think he either would lie or is being lied to. I mean, remember, when the Panthers traded up, they said multiple times, we don't really have right now a guy in mind. They're open.
Which I don't buy.
They have said they have conviction on a few different quarterbacks. So right now they're going through the process. I can absolutely see. Again, I wouldn't do it. I could see, though, the reasons why you'd fall in love with Anthony Richardson and basically see Josh Allen 2.0 on your roster.
What do you think the actual number is that they draft Anthony Richardson?
I would say about 25%.
Okay. I think it's 1%. That's why I really think this is a decision that is between Bryce Young and CJ Stroud. And maybe they already know, or maybe it's just you got one person saying this, the GM, then the owner saying this, and the coach saying that. But I don't think it's going to be Anthony Richardson. Daniel Jeremiah will join us next. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.